Hey guys, this is Mike Badano, and you're listening to Sarcastic Remarks on 365 Sportscast Radio Network.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Sarcastic Remarks, along with Christian Chambers, my brother. I am Brian, and we are here talking after a OT loss. Oh, big surprise. The Stars' ninth OT Sorry, that was very sarcastic. The Stars' ninth OT loss of the season at the hands of the Florida Panthers in a final score of 4-3. And honestly, Chris, this just seems like another game that the Stars probably could have, should have won, and yet they find the way to lose.
Yeah, we found a way to lose twice. So, yeah, this is definitely a should-have-won. That save by Bobrovsky is going to be a top-10 save of the season. That was incredible. That was one of the most athletic saves I've seen in my entire life. I just want to say that was like the most fun game I've watched all season. It was awesome. I loved that hockey game. It was great. That being said, there was some things that obviously were suck. Like, and I'm sure you're going to get on to them on, because I agree with you completely about what you were tweeting about.
Oh, I was ranting on Twitter a bunch today.
Yeah, but your main point on Twitter was they lost special teams and they lost goaltending. So go ahead. Let them have it on that subject, Ryan.
That's the theme of the season. If it's not us talking about the overtime losses, it's the fact that the Stars can't win.
Well, and that's how we're getting
battle.
Overtime, too.
Right. It's like we can't win the special team battle, and we can't win the goaltending battle. And it seems like every time that we're talking about a overtime loss, especially when we're just that close, to winning the game, we can't because of those things. Now, there were lots of other factors in this game that led to the outcome, but that was the biggest one in my opinion. And looking at power plays, it's not like it was it was a poorly – half poorly officiated, half not poorly officiated game, if that makes sense. First off, I got to say that Gerionov penalty was an absolute bull.
That was the worst penalty goal
absolute
I've seen all season. That was hilarious.
And the only thing I can think of is that just because of the angle that the ref was at,
It was the ref across the ice – and between him and the play was the net and the goalie.
Right.
And so he still made the call. And yeah, there was an official that was closer. I don't know what he was doing. I have no idea what crossed his mind.
And of all things, he called it tripping.
Yeah.
What? Right. Okay, so if you shove somebody down when they're basically, like, you know, off balance, that's a tripping call, apparently. So
I don't know, dude. That was crazy.
So okay. So regardless of that, you know, refs are gonna make mistakes. They're humans too. So yeah. Yes, that shouldn't have been called. But at the same time, they're gonna make mistakes. On the flip side of that, the Stars have to kill penalties. They have to kill penalties.
It seems like there's at least one every game right now.
Right. And it's they just can't seem to give it up. And even before the second penalty that Denis Gerionov took, the first power play that Florida had, it was scary looking. They were getting the cross crease passes. They were getting all the east west passes down. It was scary. And man, I just if it's not one thing, it's another thing. With this team, and
but you're right that the theme of the season has been special teams and goaltending. Like, it seems like one goalie can't stay good for an extended period of time. They'll have a good game, and then the next game they'll be bad, and then our special teams has been bad throughout. So again, no power play goals still. So power play goals, like, if you look at power plays, like, the last, what is it, like 15 games, we're like last in the league or something like that. Mm-hmm. And same with penalty kills, you got to look like near term instead of long term, because long term you get those first four games of the season, which completely skew all the stats. But recently, special teams has just sucked, and then this game too, Dobby didn't look good all night. So
yeah, so let's talk about that, because you're 100% right. He didn't look on tonight. He wasn't almost like he wasn't ready. he had that one freak accident that he's lucky it didn't go behind him. It was, I think at that point it was 2-1 us. And we just couldn't get a save out of him until, you know, towards the end. He made a really good stop. He made one good stop the entire game. But that was about it. And yeah, he wasn't controlling rebounds. He was, and again, he was going behind the net and making some ill-advised passes behind his own net when he would go after the puck. And I honestly wish half of the time that he goes back behind there that he wouldn't, because it always seems like we turn the puck over and it leads to either a goal or a really good scoring chance.
Yeah, so it really doesn't seem worth it. I feel like someone needs to talk to him and say, like, yeah, stop it behind the net and just leave it. Just let your guy go get it, because it definitely hasn't been working. And, like, from the first shot of the game, he didn't look good. Like, the first shot of the game, I thought, that's a very savable shot. Short side high, like, I feel like you can chest that up. And it didn't seem like a great shot. And the third goal as well didn't look that great. I mean, of course, the turnover was egregious by Haskinen. Like, that's the worst turnover I've ever seen him give up. But still, from the top of the dots, a wrist shot, like, I mean, it was a great shot. Don't get me wrong. He did all he could. But he just took a wrist shot from the top of the circle. It wasn't exceptionally hard or fast. Like, I don't know. I feel like if you're Dobby, that's one that you want to hang on to. And then the overtime goal, like, I don't think he stopped a shot in overtime. Overcommitted on everything the entire game. And earlier in the overtime, you just seem like all the way, like, into the corner. Like, I don't know what was going on there, but he seemed off all night. I thought, like, potentially you pull him after the third goal there, because I thought that wasn't a great goal. He's looked bad the whole game. I thought about pulling him, but
I disagree with you on that, because the Stars were still playing well despite the issues that were going on. But
yeah, but still, jeez.
Yeah, you're right. But and the other thing is that you've got a back-to-back, and I mean, I fully expect to see Jake Ottinger tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, 100%. If he's not in, I would be beyond shocked. And I think everybody else in the DFW area would be shocked as well. Or even in across the world, wherever you're listening to this podcast or wherever you watch the Stars. Here's another thing I wanted to talk about, and this kind of goes towards the Miro Haskinen stuff. This game was, as Razor described it, was a mistake full game. And, you know, mistake full hockey is exciting hockey, because there were lots of turnovers, there were lots of issues. I mean, and especially in the second period, I think it was – I saw on Twitter that the turnovers or giveaways in the second period were 9-0. In favor of the Stars, and that's not a stat you want to be leading in. So the turnovers are really killing us, but what I really think is leading to these turnovers is I think it's finally starting to get to all these teams, not just the Stars, but the Panthers too, because the Panthers were making some egregious, you know, passes and ill-advised plays. And then the same with Tampa Bay on Thursday. Everyone's getting more tired, so there's more of these mistakes that are showing up. Do you think that's just an effect of the schedule?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. There's no reason to disagree with that. It was obvious on both teams, and it's going to be even worse tomorrow probably. But, like, I think we handled it well. Like, for the most part, especially our 2-on-1 defense was really good. I feel like a lot of players made good plays there. Like, Hanley made some pretty exceptional plays, I thought, on 2-on-1s. Of course, Lindell did, because he's just amazing at defense. But I thought we handled it well overall, and I thought we played that style decently. It's just, I feel like we just needed one save tonight, you know? One big save. And, like, if Dobby's playing well, he gives you that. He's worth a goal, pretty much. And tonight he just wasn't. He didn't really make a great save, in my opinion.
Well, it also doesn't help when you give up a 2-on-1 within the first 30 seconds of the game.
Yeah.
And that's the first shot that he faces.
That angle, and to take it short side high and it go in, like, if you ask him, he'd say he should have had it, at least. So
can someone please break all of Verhaeghe's sticks, like all of them? Please?
What is it with the Stars and one player going off against them? Like, it seems like we always, like, we'll give up three goals and it's all to one player. Or, like, the Manta situation where he scored four goals on us in playing for a garbage
team.
You're
still salty about that?
Terrible.
That was the beginning of last season.
I will be salty
season.
About that for forever. I will never forget about that game.
Well,
but
Manta was also hot at the beginning of that season. He was after that game, he went on just like a hot stretch where everything he touched turned to gold. Anyways, but you're kind of right because we've given up, I think that's our second hat trick this season to players.
I think so, at least.
If I remember correctly. So one was Verhage, and I can't for the life of remember who the other one was. But anyways, I did want to talk about some of the forward lines for this game. I thought the forward lines actually, you know, on paper, with Hintz being out and with Radulov being out, actually looked, you know, okay.
I'm going to give credit to Bones. I loved moving Foxa to the Ben Gurionov line. I thought that
was
a brilliant move.
Yeah,
that was fantastic. So props to Bones there. I really liked it because, like, at the very least, you're winning the offensive zone draw. Like, at the very least. And Fox has showed that he can play offense when he was up on that line. He did very well. He almost scored the go-ahead goal at the end of the third period if he could have just put his stick on that. But, I thought it was good.
The thing that Fox adds to that line is he drives the net because he's more of a checking line forward, right? That's been mostly his role as a Dallas Stars player. So, and they need more of that right now, especially with when you don't have three of your top six forwards in the lineup, you got to do those sort of things to get goals. So you're not going to score, you know, with dangling left and right and doing all this stuff like that. And especially Ben, that's how Ben scores goals. He's not going to be that, you know, that dangling forward that he was 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, speaking of Ben, and even though that line was good and they got a goal tonight, they were still on the downside of letting goals in.
Ben just couldn't hit the net at all. Just to get on Ben for a little bit. He had three, like, grade A scoring chances.
And two of the three
he didn't even hit
missed.
The net on.
Right. And like, and someone put on Twitter when I put that up, I was just like, okay, that's the second chance he's had that he's completely missed the net on. And someone tweeted back to me and said, you know, I would rather him, you know, shoot for the corner than, you know, put it right into the chest of Bobrovsky. And I'm like, at this point, I just want him to get it on net.
Yeah, on a few of those, if he shot it right at the middle of the net, it would have gone in.
Right.
So, like, you gotta hit the net at some point. Like, those aren't like he was on the top of the circle on a two, and he had two defensemen on him, and he just tried to hit a corner. That was like he's at the crease and just needs to get it into the net, a shot at least, something, and he didn't even get anything. So there's a difference there. If you're like alone in front of the net, or you're like getting a touch pass and you just need to get it on, like, you don't need the corner. If you're skating down the ice and you're just by yourself trying to make something happen, that's when you're going for a corner.
And I do want to talk about execution with the Stars forwards too, because that was a big issue. Even though we scored three goals tonight, surprise, surprise, it's still an issue. But before we get to that, I did want to mention that I really liked the addition of Dickinson on the line with Robertson and Pavelski. I thought they played well. They didn't get what they needed tonight from that team. And the other thing is that they didn't play well defensively. When they were in their own zone, I think that all three of them ended up being minuses tonight. Pavelski and Dickinson were both minus one, and Robertson was a minus two. But the, you know, Dickinson is a decent fill-in for that. I mean, you're not going to expect him to do Roope Hintz things, but he was a decent fill-in on that quote-unquote top line, I think, if you would call it.
It's just tough when, like you said, like three, probably, well, at least arguably, our three best goal scorers are out right now. Like, it's just, I don't ever want to see Dickinson on our second line. Well, like, but we have no choice right now.
That is our first line.
Yeah, well, I'm calling Ben Gurion our first line, but whatever. Yeah, it's just definitely not an ideal situation.
Well, it's And it's a lot to ask Dickinson, you know, considering he's not a top six forward, right? He's at best a middle six forward, maybe a probably more like a bottom
more likely
six forward.
A bottom six, yeah. But
so they ended up, you know, evening out the time on ice a little bit, but that fourth line did not play very much tonight. Esperance just got 7.25 minutes. Gardner just got just a hair under 10, and then Caro ended the night with 6:33. So,
yeah, real quick, we're talking about this. We have Dowling, Esperance, Gardner, and Caro as in the lineup for this game.
A hit of
healthy scratch, Ty Dellandrea.
Yeah. I don't know.
He has more goals than all of them combined. It doesn't make sense to me. It really pisses me off. He should be playing every game when we don't have our top three scorers. There's no reason for him not to be playing. Especially over Caro, Gardner, and Dowling. Like, Esperance, I thought Esperance has been playing decent, and of course he's been getting the least amount of minutes out of anybody. And of course he has a good goal tonight. But yeah, it's just there's no reason he shouldn't be playing right now. And I don't understand what Bones sees that's so bad that he can't play him. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's also frustrating, and this goes back to us talking about, you know, everybody being tired and, you know, all the mistakes that were made in tonight's game, just, you know, from a structure standpoint, with all the turnovers, there wasn't a lot of skating tonight. It was more try to get the stick on the puck or whatever. And I mean, he's Bonus is having to play the top three lines all the time.
Yeah, right now that's what you have to do. You can't roll four like we'd like to, just because literally our fourth line is an AHL line. Like, not even like, oh, that's overstatement. No, it is. Like, that's our AHL line last year. So when we get those three back, like, I'm excited to see, like, if we can play the Panthers this well when they're desperate for a win and we basically don't have a fourth line. Like, I'm excited for what's going to happen when we can get healthy.
Well, like, Jason Dickinson should be on that fourth line, probably, instead of the first line.
Yes,
he should
absolutely
be on the fourth line.
He's on the fourth line normally.
So
he's on our first line right now, playing 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's just frustrating right now, just with everything that's going on. And, you know, I know a lot of people are frustrated with how the Stars are playing right now and the fact that we can't win games right now. But that's just the story of the season right now, is this: we're not executing. There's injuries left and right to all of our top players. We're asking players to step in who shouldn't be asked to step in, like Robertson. He's been like the lifeblood of the Stars offense for the month of March. And then we have people like Dennis Gerionov and Jamie Benn who are not, you know, not doing anything, basically.
Well,
Gray
scored tonight. Gray's been looking better at least a little bit, but
exactly. But that's the problem, though. Is it like, oh, we look good, but this happened, or oh, we look good, but we're not getting enough execution?
Well,
so
if we want to make the playoffs when we don't have our top three scorers, then both of those guys need to be on. They can't just be okay. They have to be great if we want to get to the playoffs when we don't have our first line. So that's just what I think. If we look back on the season, like from the future, especially if we don't make the playoffs, it's going to be, this was the injury season. Like,
and
three of your best scoring forwards and your Vezina goalie out for the whole season. Like, I feel like we need to remind people of that more. And like, overall, I know it really feels bad because we lost it overtime again, and we had such a great chance, and it was stoned by an amazing save by Bob. But this is overall a win. Like, this is what we said we needed to do against Tampa Bay and Florida. We need to split the series. That's it. Because in the first half of the season, we won no games against the top three teams. So if we can split series against the top three teams, we're happy. Tampa Bay, split the series. That's a win. Florida, we're already halfway there to 2 points. If we can split the series against these teams, we're happy. As long as we're getting points and hoping that these guys can come back and play for us, then we're good. So let's start getting to the bright side of this game.
Yep. So, all right. So let's look at some of first I want to do one thing. Well, nah. We already talked about it. We already talked about the execution of the Stars.
No more negatives.
Yeah, no more negatives.
On to the positives.
Okay. So the positives, one of the big positives and one of the most noticeable players for me tonight, even though he only played about 12 minutes, was Joel Hanley. How about the play of Joel Hanley?
He was outstanding the whole game.
And it wasn't just on the offensive side of the puck, which the fact he got the he had two assists tonight. But he also made several good defensive plays.
He stopped two 2-on-1s at least. So, yeah, he was really good on both sides of the puck. I think this was the best game that he's played since he's been a Star. So I think he's definitely cemented himself as the sixth spot over Pissick now. So that's awesome to see that he's forcing Bones to let him play in this lineup. And took advantage of a great opportunity. So good on him.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So... And the only downfall for him is that they don't really need him to play extra. I mean, with the way our top four have...
Hey, if you're getting minutes, like that, I'd much rather him play 12 minutes a game than be on the taxi squad and play nothing.
That's true. He's been
I'd much rather have Pissick play no minutes than Hanley. So, definitely a win.
Okay, another bright side for the Stars team for this evening was the fact that Denis Garionov and Jamie Benn both actually got on the score sheet tonight. So that's a very good thing for two of those guys. And I totally understand why Bonus put Pavelski and Benn together, because you know those are your two veteran guys, and they should be your best offensive guys. But ever since he switched Pavelski and Garionov, and Pavelski has been playing with mostly with Robertson, and then, you know, Ben's been playing with Garionov, it seems to have sparked a little bit more chemistry for all four of those guys, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's worked out decently. It's just I think we're finally getting to the point where, like, yeah, Ben's never going to be back to the same way he was. Like, last season he was all talking about, oh, how, like, he's improved his skating and stuff, and Ben's going to be back. But, yeah, especially seeing this season, too, I feel like the days of Jamie Benn really being an offensive threat on this team are pretty much over. So it's a leadership role, and right now we need him to be an offensive threat if we really want to win these games. Like, we're not going to be a great team unless Benn and Dickinson and Pavelski – are all playing great, because we don't have enough guys for them not to be. But unfortunately, I don't think he's going to play great anymore for the rest of his career. I think he's pretty much done being a goal scorer.
Well, maybe he'd be a good third line role player. But the thing is,
he's still a top line player. He's still a 1-2 line player, just because his playmaking is still good. He can still create offense, and his puck movement is still great. His saucer passes are great. He can get the puck out of situations very well. He's still very good on the boards, which is one thing that he's always been underrated at, is he's great at getting the puck off the boards from other guys. So he's still a 1-2 guy. He's just not the guy who's going to score the goals on the team anymore, which is super sad as I look up at my Jamie Benn Art Ross bobblehead.
Well, hopefully one day he gets back to that, but for now he's not there. So another good thing that happened this evening is that we're actually getting some offense from some depth guys. I mean, we already talked about Joel Hanley getting two assists. He's probably the most underrated player of the evening. But Joel Esperance got a goal this evening. So that's
game tying goal.
Yeah, that was a huge, talking about at least getting the loser point. He's the reason why we got the loser point.
Yeah, against top three teams, we love loser points. Again, loser points are good. We don't love it because of the way we lost tonight, but looking back, we love it.
Yeah, that was really disheartening. It was just like,
it's hard to swallow, but you just gotta think it's good. We're good. That's what we want.
I could only think just like, after Ekblad scored it the second time. I was like, that's just a culmination of the star season right there.
Oh, I knew we were like, losing as soon as Bob made that save. As soon as he made that save, I was like, it's done. Even if we go to shootout, he's not going to lose. He's refusing.
Yeah.
So just a great hockey game. It was so much fun.
Well, and the thing was, is I put this up on Twitter as well, as I didn't think that both goaltenders were fantastic either.
They weren't. He wasn't playing great. Like, he just makes two of the biggest saves of his life. That was crazy. It was awesome. I mean, that's why hockey's the greatest sport in the world, everybody. It's free. Where else does that much action happen? They won the game, then they lost the game, and then they won again. Like, the puck was in the net, and they somehow kept it out. That's crazy.
I don't know.
I love hockey. Hockey's great. Watch hockey, everybody.
Yep. So everyone's talking about, do you think the Stars are going to make it to 11, 11, and 11?
It's looking like it.
First it was 10, 10, and 10. Now everyone's like 11, 11, 11. So, you know, considering how many points we've lost in past 60 minutes, I wouldn't put it past the Stars to get there.
I take it. I mean, if we get to 11, 11, 11, that means we split the Panther series, so I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Make smaller goals, and you'll enjoy the star season more, everybody. A little tips for mental health.
Yep. Yeah, seriously, no joke. This season has just been such a roller coaster, because it's like, you know, at the beginning of the season, they were losing games and sucking at it. And now they're just playing well, and they're still losing.
They're still finding ways to lose.
So,
huh?
Yeah, and you know, one of the sad statistics that came out of this game that I saw from on Twitter from, you know, all the media members was, the Stars haven't won consecutive games since the beginning of the season, since their 4-game winning streak at the beginning of the season. They have not put two wins together.
But they've had extended point streaks.
Yeah,
because they lose in overtime so often.
I think they're 3-4-3 in their last 10 or something like that. So go figure. Okay. I did want to talk about the standings real quick before we get off of this, because it seems like even though that we're sucking it up and everything and all that, it's still the same situation.
So are they.
So the thing is that currently we are six points out of a playoff spot with the loser point tonight. All right. Out of the five teams, out of the five teams that are, you know, vouching for that last playoff spot, that fourth playoff spot, we have 4 games over all of them. Detroit, Columbus, Nashville, Chicago.
Oh my gosh! It's
so still, the scenario is, if we win all 4 of those games, we're in the playoffs, right? So 4 times 2, 8 points. 8 points.
Well, even there, you say, well, our point percentage is 500, so we win 2 of those games, or we just go to overtime and all 4 more likely. Then, like, we're 2 points out. What the heck, dude?
I don't know.
We've won 11 games out of, 31 now? And we are 6 points out of a playoff spot.
They just got to get rid of the loser point. I'm sorry.
No. You can't decide a full game with 3-on-3 overtimer shootouts. I agree, it's stupid, but how else would you do it other than having ties?
I don't know.
You either have ties or you have a loser point. Those are your options.
So here's some of the other stuff that's kind of disheartening for us right now as Stars fans. Chicago looks like they're finally getting out of their funk a little bit. Nashville has won 5 of 6, and now they are 2 points behind Chicago for that final playoff spot. Columbus is pretty much like us. They're losing in overtime. We actually have 1 more than they do. Columbus has 8. We have 9, so haha, suck it, Columbus. And somehow we're at 500. NHL 500, at least. So
good.
That's and we are, so the 3 teams above us, right? So let's talk about goal differential for a second. Chicago is at a -9. Nashville is at a minus 16. Columbus is at a minus 23. All three of those teams are ahead of us, and we have a positive 4 in goal differential.
Well, if you want to see why those other two teams are so low, you just got to look at the top two teams. Tampa Bay and Carolina are plus 41 and plus 28, respectively. That is insane.
Yep.
And we had, like, what was our goal differential in the first four games? It had to have been, like, 15.
Oh, it was something crazy like that. Yeah. And it's kind of slowly trailed off since then. So, anyways, that's what it looks like for the Stars right now. It's still the same scenario.
It's still somehow, somehow it is still very possible. And it's still also very possible that we could win the draft lottery.
No joke. Exactly. So,
hockey is crazy.
So here's the thing with the Stars coming up and what's a little bit unfortunate. So we have to play Florida tomorrow, right? And it's a 5 o'clock start time. And then we have two games against Nashville, which normally I'd be like, okay, that's great. We got to win both those games. But
well, they're playing good.
Nashville is playing well right now. So
you still got to win both of those games.
Yeah, you really do. You just got to hope that you win both of those games. And at this point, we don't really have a choice. So we just got to do it. So anything else we got to talk about? I think that's it.
That's all I got.
That's all I got, too. All right, guys. So tomorrow at 9 o'clock Central Time, 10 Eastern, Chris and I are going to be going live on 365 Sportscast Radio Network. You can type in 365sportscast.com and listen to us there. And we'll be going live then, and we'll have some post-game reaction for you.
That'll be like a legit post-game.
Yeah, like a legit post-game. Well, like an hour and a half after, but whatever.
Well, yeah.
Whatever, yeah. Okay. Anyways, you can follow us on Twitter at SarcasticRMR, or SarcasticR. I always screw that up. Follow us on Instagram as well, SarcasticRMR Podcast. Like us on Facebook, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. And I think that's gonna do it for us. We'll catch you guys tomorrow night, and we'll see you on the flip side. Good night.